Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Pleasure to be in the house of God. Amen. Are you thankful that you can be in the house of God?
Amen.
You know, there's people in other countries tonight that when they go out to worship the Lord, that they put their life in danger, be threatened and be put to death. You know, a lot of times we read stories about martyrs and people that have been killed many years back. And we think that this was something from many years ago, but brothers and sisters, people being tortured, burned to death, killed on a daily basis for their testimony of Christ. When we was in the Philippines, there was some people killed within two blocks of the church that we were working in during the time we were there. And I remember a real rough place we went to ministering down in there, very rough area. And the people come out protesting because I was preaching very strong. And I was preaching against Catholicism and things that was very strong in that country. And the people came out and were screaming out and protesting. But they were, told my wife, said, "You're going to have to go stop him." They said, "They'll kill him." And she said, "I'm not messing with him." You know, it had been the same thing that took place when Steph and Andy went with us to Africa. There were several hundred people killed right before we got there. Missionary and friends that were there right when we were leaving to go there called us and pleaded with us not to go. Said, "Please don't go, Brother Rob." Said, "Don't you have any concern? What's your church going to do without you and your family?" And I said, "Lord said go. Amen." And I'll tell you, he had his way in it, because the whole church had went underground and was hiding out because of the persecution. So it was church burnings and different things, and it got rough there for a while. But we went there and they exhorted us because so much tribal tensions there. But again, there is persecution, people being put to death for the namesake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Still right now in our country, we have the freedom to worship, and it's departing. You may not agree with that, but it's departing. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, they'll throw you out in this day and hour. They'll put you out. You won't be numbered. TBN would not allow us. And you say, "What is that?" It's the devil's network. That might be offensive to you, and I apologize before I offend you anymore. But I'm just telling you, they didn't love Jesus when he was here. It said they hated him, they'll hate you also. People are religious this day. People like religion. They like to say, "Well, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Church of God. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Mormon," whatever. And they just want to be numbered with something. Well, they may as well go join the Boy Scouts. You're going to be numbered with something. Let's get numbered with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our God, our salvation. He's our Savior. There's no denomination that's going to save you. I don't care how much exploits and how big their churches are and how much stained glass they got. That won't save you. You need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to be born again and filled with His Spirit. The Bible said, "Without His Spirit, you're none of His." Amen. So the thing is that's what we need, is His Spirit. The Bible said, you know, that the minister is called of God because he turns people away from sin. I'm going to read to you this evening in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I want to take you all the way down to the last part of the 4th chapter, and I want to read something here, and I want to talk about that for a moment this evening. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen." Now think about this. We're going to use this for a context of some foundation for thought here this evening. So they're telling us to look at something that we can't see. Is this what it's saying here? It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So I'm going to talk to you tonight about seeing things that you can't see. See, it doesn't move people. If I say, "Brother Ed, I want you to walk up here for a minute because I'm going to give you $100,000. I held my hand out and say, "Here you go, bro." And he'd be looking, "Well, I don't see nothing, Brother Rob. This don't do nothing for me." But if I opened up a briefcase and showed him $100,000, he would be doing cartwheels and skips all around this church. Is that true? Come on now, brethren. That's exactly right. But let's talk about that $100,000 that I open up a briefcase, give to him. Everybody be excited. "Hey, man, you know, this and that." Everybody's all excited. I know you would be. Hey, I would be. If you're not sure if I would be, won't somebody try giving me $100,000 tonight and we'll see what happens. I think I can smile real big, amen. But you know, see, this is what moves people. But now, the thing is we speak about the spirit world. We talk about our Heavenly Father. The Bible said that no man is seen. The Bible teaches us that the Heavenly Father is invisible. Now, it's hard to, you know, really fellowship something invisible, isn't it? "Hey, Lord, how you doing? Hey." Come on now, I'm trying to get you in the mindset here. And see, you can see why the world is perishing and people are on their way to hell. is because they haven't learned to see the unseen. Now, when Jesus walked among men, he said unto them, he said, though you have eyes, you do not see. And they're looking at him. Say, what are you talking about? I'm looking at you. I can see you. Now, we could talk about the ones that the Lord Jesus healed. One sitting at the gate there, and he comes along, and the Lord Jesus, you know, spit in the ground, took a little clay, put over his eyes and things, and the guy got his eyesight. And you say, oh, yeah, now he can see. But then yet he was talking to people that had their eyes open and looking upon him. And he said, you don't have eyes to see, nor do you have ears to hear. And they're saying, well, I could hear you. But they did not hear him. So see, now, if we go back to this scripture again, I'm going to read it again. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So if I hand this brother $100,000 and everybody's excited, what does the Bible say? It all goes to naught. I remember my uncle inherited, I don't remember exactly how much, but he gave each one of his kids $100,000. And this guy was a common man, a plumber. Lived in a nice little home and just a real humble, common man. But then when he inherited all this money, it changed him. He went out and built him a big house next to Will Rogers. Builds a big mansion. You know, here's a guy that was common among people, but now he's out buying big thousands and thousands of dollars race horses, and he's going off to horse races. Driving him a new Lincoln, got him a new big dually truck to pull his new horse trailer to take his horses to the race before he can lose all of his money. But you know, it's funny how man thinks like, well, I've got this money, it's going to last forever. Well, he spent it. And then after he spent his money, he couldn't make his mortgage payment and he lost his big house. And then all of a sudden he was back just being a little common man again, over living in a little place. He moved from California back to Missouri, lived in a little street called hell. Isn't that sad? It's sad, man. And he just lost it all, lost everything, went right back. So what is the thrill and excitement about this $100,000 or $1 million? You know how many stories I could share with you of those things? It's temporal. It's here for a moment and gone. The Bible said there won't be one stone standing on top of another stone. You know, and we put all of our thrust and all of our life and all of our excitement and we work. Take mankind. He says, man, I'm going to work for I could retire. So a guy works all of his life. He turns 65 and he says, well, I could retire now, and he dies. Boy, isn't that something excited to look forward to? You see, the Bible says to store things away for heavenly treasure. Store them away that moth, rust, and decay can't get to it. You see, but that doesn't move you now. You say, man, I want to see money in my bank account. I want to see money that I could, you know, get a hold of. But it's just temporal. But, you know, people have troubles putting things away in an invisible account. Now, you see, we talk about faith. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, but things not yet seen. Come on now, listen to me, brothers. We put all of our trust, all of our hope in the things that we see. Things that are tangible, things that we could touch. And that's all temporal. It tells us right here not to go for these temporal things. What you see is temporal. This flesh right here, you could touch it, you could see it. It's temporal. You know, the little beautiful girl that the man sells his soul for, she's got all the right moves and she knows how to sway them feet. And the man will sell. So you know what she turns into? Be a wrinkled up bag. I'm sorry. I know you can get offended. I'm sorry. But you know what? That's what they turn into. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but that's what flesh is. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. You know, and you sell your soul for some old little thing that's going to turn into some wrinkled up bucket of bones that you wouldn't have nothing to do with. Everything goes to naught. We don't put our trust and our hope in the temporal things of this world. Well, preacher, I know that, you know, you got a car and you got a home, this and that. Well, you know, there's a reason. Just like you have one. We don't want to bring a reproach. But then yet, we want to show the provisions of God. And he wants to bless you with natural things. But he said, store your things away in heavenly places. He talks about the floodgates of heaven open up that'll overflow. And we could receive natural things. So don't misunderstand me. God wants to provide for us. He wants us to have food and provision and homes and shelter and clothing. Those things. Yes, he does. But that's all temporal. We need to be seeking after something first. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all this others will be added to us. So let's go back and think for a moment about this invisible world. How much of this invisible world do you recognize today? Do you see? How much do you think about it? See, you went through your day to day and you probably never even thought about the invisible world. You never thought about it probably one time today. But if God would quicken your eyes for just a moment and you could see into the spiritual realm, there is a more active world in the spiritual realm than this natural world. It is way more active. And God could quicken and change your eyesight that you could see into the spirit realm. The Bible says we're surpassed around with a great cloud of witnesses. You know, and now the thing is you say, well, I don't know. I have to see it to believe it. Well, when Thomas came along, he said, well, let me touch these nail prints in your hands. Let me thrust my hand in your side. But what did the Lord Jesus say to him? He said, more blessed is the man that believes without seeing. Isn't that what he said to him? He said, more blessed is the man that believes without seeing. But then yet he had to see. He had to touch. Now the thing is that people with their doubt and their unbelief that they have to touch, they got to see, they got to feel. Like, can you prove to me there's a God? Preacher, I'll accept this God that you've got if you could prove to me that he's God. Well, I'll tell you what, when you walk in unbelief and carnality, you'll never see him nor never know him. You see, God, we serve him by faith. We serve him and you say, well, what is faith? How do I get this faith? By hearing the word of God. That's what the Bible teaches. So you're going to want me to put my faith and my trust in something I can't see, and you want me to give my life to something I can't see. You know, it's not just give your life. The Bible said to give it as a living sacrifice as your reasonable service. So you want me to make a sacrifice and quit doing with all my foolishness and all of my fun and all my pleasures, all my sin, all of my adultery, fornication, all my sleeping around, all my drinking, all my snorting, all my smoking. Can you want me to give up all that for something I can't see? It's like that rich man in hell said, hey, just put a drop of spit on my tongue, please. What he thought, you know, so to speak, a beggar, please. You know, this life is temporal. What are you going to put your faith in and trust? What if a man don't believe in God and believe that there is an eternal life, and then all of a sudden when he steps out of this temporal life that's here for a moment, like a vapor and a mist, a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years, and you take and gamble your whole soul for nothing. You know, we mock Esau because he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup or stew, however you want to express it. I mean, you're going to sell your soul for a meal. And we mock him, but people do it all the time. They go off into this world and they sell out to the beggarly elements of this world and they lose their soul for nothing. Nothing whatsoever at all. Amen? Brethren, we watch it, we witness it, we see it. And nowadays we've got this religious order. You know, there used to be a day between the Protestant and the Catholics. The word Protestant comes from protest against Catholicism. They protested against this universal church, the Catholic Church. This is where the Protestant move came from. Okay, but there was a day that the Protestant would look over at this Catholics and they'd say, man, you know, they'd say, well, you know, hey, we live like we want. We go drink, we snort, we sleep around. We just go over here and we go into this little confession booth and say, hey, Father, I've sinned. Count your beads and say your Hail Marys and thus, thus, and us. And he sends you on down the road. You know, I mean, if we're just going to be religious, let's do that one. Sounds pretty good. You know, we just go over to some monkey in a little booth and we go over there and say, hey, I've sinned. You know, okay, man, go on. See, doesn't that sound good? We could just live like a devil? We could just live like the world? You see, that's not Christianity, brothers and sisters. So I don't care if they call it Catholic or what they call it. It's not right with the Word of God. The Bible teaches us to come out of the world and be a separate people. We're supposed to be peculiar. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to act like the world. We're not supposed to talk like the world. And you say, well, brother, what is it that we must do? You must be born again, the Bible says. Well, how can I be born again? What must I do to be born again? You see, the Baptists have taken the born again message and this is what they've turned it into. Well, what you do is you come forward into church and you say this little prayer. Repeat this with me, please, sir. Oh, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you with all of my heart, Lord Jesus. I confess that I was born as a sinner. I confess that I was born into sin. Oh, Jesus, come into my heart. And then they walk away and they tell people, I'm saved now. I'm saved, and they walk away twofold more the child of hell. Now, see, you don't like that because now it looks like I'm coming against all the Baptists. There's wonderful Baptist people. But you see, this is a doctrine that came forth from Billy Graham that's gone through the whole world. Now you say, but I got Bible for that, Brother Rob. In Romans 9, it says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Yeah, believe in your heart. Did anybody teach you how to believe in your heart? You say, up here, I believe with my head. But it says, believe in your heart. Now, when you get that figured out, we could talk about being born again in salvation. Are you believing with your head or are you believing with your heart? Oh, I believe in my heart. What that means, preacher, is that I really, truly, truly, truly believe. Well, the Bible said that if you love God, you keep His commandments. You have enough believing in that heart to keep the commandments of God. You know, but if you're walking in the ways of the world and the ways of the flesh, then you're telling God that you don't believe Him. So how do I believe in my heart? Well, then when the Bible says that your heart's continually evil, continually wicked, and it says man doesn't even know his own heart. So how can you tell me that you believe in your heart for you could be born again if you don't know? And if your heart is continually evil and wicked, and a man doesn't even know his own heart is what the Bible says. So now what are we going to do with your salvation message? You come by believing in your heart. Am I destroying the Word of God here tonight? No, I'm challenging you to think differently because there's people that say they believe in their heart and are on their way to hell. The Bible again says they surpass land and sea and make twofold more the child of hell. Let me tell you something, the television evangelists on the televisions, they're up there preaching this gospel and they're telling that you must do this and you must do that, and people are on their way to hell. The Bible says a small flock, few be there that find it. And the righteous scarcely make it. So what are we going to do? Are we going to trust the multitude? Did Jesus trust the multitude when he walked among men? The multitude, the very elite of that day and hour, the Sanhedrin, this church, the chosen people, the elect, right there in Jerusalem, in the most holy city of all, they were taken, the religious people were taken to kill Jesus. They were taking him out to stone him. They were taking him out to crucify him. They couldn't do it because of the Roman law, so they had to get the Romans to do it. It's no different today. Brother, the religious order of this day and hour will put you to death if you're walking in Christ. They don't want to hear the gospel. They want this compromised message. They want to, you know, they like this message. Well, we said this little prayer and magic. I said this prayer and magic, and now I'm a son of God. I prayed this prayer, so man, that's what I am. Well, I like faith, and I hope that you did say a prayer, and I hope you have enough faith to believe in that prayer, that you receive the infilling of God's Spirit. Because without the Spirit of God, you're none of His. How do I know that if I'm born again, Brother Rob? What is it? What is the difference between a man that's born again and one that's not born again? Is there any kind of a fruit? Is there any kind of an evidence? Is there any kind of a thing? Well, sure there is. When you savor the things that be of the flesh, you're of your father the devil. When you love the world and like the world, the Bible says friendship with the world is adultery in God. Well, what do you mean? Adultery is when a married man has a relationship with somebody else's wife, or a married woman has a relationship with another man. That's what adultery. Well, see, we have a heavenly father. Remember, we started out here. Stay with me now. We started out talking about things invisible. Now, you go by a carnal world. I go by a spiritual world. The Bible said the carnal mind is death and enmity with God. So I'm trying to get you out of your carnal concept of thinking and get out of your carnal mind, which will kill you and put you in hell, and get you to think like a son of God. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Preacher, you think you can be equal with God? I most definitely do. Because I become one with Him, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, and that's one with the member body of Christ. And Jesus is the only predestined one into eternal life. Him and Him alone. You know, you want to talk about predestination? It's Jesus. He's one predestinated. The only way that you'll make it in is by becoming one with Him. And when you become one with Him, you become equal with Him. He said He made you joint heirs. What is an heir? You see, if your daddy was worth $1 million and he passed away and made you heir, now you're worth $1 million. Daddy's gone. Amen. He made me joint heirs with Him and gave me everything that pertaineth unto life. That's according to the Word in the Scriptures. So our context of thought is seeing the unseen, the invisible. If Jesus, when He said to Nicodemus that one must be born again, He said, what do I have to do? Enter back into my mother's womb. So He's talking about something not tangible, something that we don't touch. It's a birthing in the Spirit. The Spirit's invisible. So we're talking here about invisible world and a visible world. The visible world, things you touch, the things you smell with the five senses of the flesh, is a temporal world. And Satan uses it because he's the god of this world. Satan, you think, well, my Lord Jesus is the god of this world. No, you don't understand your Bible. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. This is why we're not to touch this world. This is why we're not to be part of this world. The Bible said we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You know that an ambassador, if I was an ambassador for United States when I was in Africa, that means I'm not an African, I'm not of Africa, but I'm an ambassador. That means I'm a U.S. citizen, and I'm over there in the behalf of the U.S. people. I'm not here for this world. I'm not here on the behalf of this world. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and I'm here for the kingdom of God to tell you that there is a way, amen, that pertaineth unto life, and that there's a way unto death. And the thing is that when you savor the things of this world and of this flesh, you will die, and you will die in your sins. And you'll die while you're quoting the name of Jesus Christ. When you think of the seven sons of Sceva, they said, hey, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, and they said, but who are you? You see, we got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, how do I have that? How do I do that? Well, let me ask you, if you was a young man seeking after a wife, you know you're going to have a relationship. And you're going to enter into a courtship and a relationship, and you're going to find a fellowship. This is what we must have with Jesus. Do you realize that the Bible said the woman is saved in childbearing? Now see, I'm talking about things that many of you have been in doctrine, but there's many people that don't know this. Now listen to me and listen closely. The woman is saved in childbearing. What does that mean, Brother Rob? It means if a woman doesn't have a child, she's going to hell. And I got Bible for that. And you say, preacher, you're so far off and you're so ignorant and you ain't nothing but of the devil. Well, that's okay. I'm just telling you, I can read it to you in the Bible. Well, say, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. The Bible said the woman's saved in childbearing and sobriety. Amen. So what does that mean? I'm talking about another dimension, invisible, that you don't see. Do I think a woman, naturally speaking, that you could touch, feel, has to have a baby to be born again? No, that's not what I'm saying. You see, this is why I'm the preacher and I'm the teacher tonight, is because I'm trying to teach you the Word of God. And what you do is you're so carnal and so naturally minded that you don't understand spiritual things. And that's what I'm speaking about. You see, the thing is that, you know, if the woman is saved in childbearing, now you got to first find out who the woman is. Now, if I stand up here tonight and say, I'm the woman, you're going to say, man, I thought you was a twisted pervert. And I say, well, I'm a woman. I'm the bride of Christ. Now, let me ask you this question. I mean, y'all could laugh or whatever, but the Bible said he's coming back for his bride. So what is that going to do if I'm a man? It's going to leave me out, huh? He said he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Now, the thing is Jesus Christ doesn't believe in homosexuality. He said it's an abomination in the eyes of God. He said that man leaves his desire for the woman and the woman and they go one to another. He said this is an abomination. God hates it. And they will find themselves in hell. There's no doubt about it. But then yet, I'm commanded to be married unto Lord Jesus. And you say, well, you're a man. That makes him a homosexual. You see, that's what I'm saying. You're looking at the natural world again. I'm speaking about the invisible world. In the invisible world, it's a different thing altogether. Now, the thing is there's a world that has partial sight and partial invisible, and it's in the soul dimension. Now, the thing is in the spirit realm, it's invisible, totally invisible. Man doesn't see it at all. And then there's the natural world. You see, you got to learn to understand this. I'm not trying to make things complicated. The world has made things complicated because they lie to people. This religious church world with your Joel Osteens and all these bunch of sissified preachers. I don't like that stuff. I don't like their form of godliness. I'm sorry. You know, it sounds offensive to you, but I'm telling you, he's going to lead many people to hell. When he doesn't know if Jesus Christ is the only way, that's a liar. And the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. If Joel Osteen don't get born again, he's going to find himself in hell. Well, he's a big preacher. You got a little handful of people. He's got 26,000 and they'll all be chewing on him in hell because they're going to be very upset with him when they find themselves in hell thinking, preacher, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us the truth? I'd rather have one person that I could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to as have 30,000 chewing on me in hell. You understand that? Let's get real for a moment. Let's talk about the Word of God. Now, the thing is, as I said, I'm the woman. He said he's coming for his bride. Now, you look at me and you see a man, but see, you're looking in the eyes that you see. So in what dimension am I the woman in? You say that must be the spirit. Well, see, but the Bible said there's no male nor female in the spirit, so it can't be the spirit. So see, you thought you knew something, but you don't know what you need to know. According to the Bible. So what dimension am I the woman in? You see, when we go to the flesh side of things, it shows the weakest. Now the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Okay, so now I got something great in me then, amen? And he that's in the world, what is he? It's weakness. Now in the second dimension, or the second heaven, or the soul realm, we find that if you're a man or woman, whatever, that you find yourself in that dimension, submitting yourself in the weakness of the flesh unto the Spirit of God. Amen? And this is what you got to be married. If you're not married unto the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will not, because the child is the heir to the throne of God. Now, I got Bible for all this, but I'm just giving you some layout here for you to get right with God. The thing is this, is that if the woman is saved in childbearing, now God repented that he made man. Okay? God was so vexed with man because of the failure of man that he repented that he made man. And then the woman was in the transgression and the fall. Eve partook, was beguiled by the serpent in the garden. And God said, you know what? I just take and wipe this woman off the face of the earth. But he saved her for childbearing, for man could reproduce his image. Man could not reproduce his image without the woman, so he saved the woman right there for childbearing that man could reproduce his image. But now we're going to go into the second dimension. We're speaking natural, physical, and spiritual, body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost. And just stay with me a minute, because these are things that you're going to have to understand. You want to be born again? You want to be born of God? Or do you want to go to hell? If you want to just go to hell and die and live it up in your sins and go to hell and have no fear of God, then so be it. But let me tell you, this world is temporal. It's here for a moment, and then it's gone. Amen? And the thing is the eternal world's a long time. Now, if you want to play Russian roulette with your soul and play around with this world and think that you're okay because you said some prayer, well, I asked Jesus in my heart. Well, let me ask if he's there. Could you unveil it and show him to me? Now, if you think that Jesus being in your heart is your salvation, then please show him to me. For I could see him. For I could know you have salvation. Don't get into these little things. You may as well say, well, I got... You know, the little pink rabbit running around with an Easter egg hunt, you know, and I've got this thing, whatever, man. You see, they've made God into a fairy tale. You know, just like this monkey Santa Claus that runs around giving everybody gifts. They've made Jesus the same way. Oh, you know, well, this God up there and the boy, he's just blessing me. We got the bunch of queers running around with their feminine, sissy-fied, perverted ways, and they're saying that they're Christians. You see, it isn't that way. It's impossible for a faggot to be a Christian. It's impossible for a drunkard to be a Christian. It's impossible for a whoremonger to be a Christian. It's impossible for a whore to be a Christian. You understand? They've got to be born again. Born again is not in your sin. You come out of your sin to be born again. When you're born again, old things have passed away. All that stuff leaves. If you were a whore, you're no longer a whore. If you were a drunk, you're no longer a drunk. You understand that? This is what salvation is. We're getting saved out of the filth and out of the world. And when the people walk in the world, talk like the world, and look like the world, they're of the world. Amen? You know what? If a pig stands up on its back feet, you might put silk underwear on, it's still a stinking pig. You understand that? And it smells like a pig because it's been rolling in the mire. And that's what God thinks about all flesh. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. You think, well, God loves me. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son that you can have life and won't perish. But you need to start differentiating and find out what that love is. And how much does he love you? Because he said he's angry with the wicked and pursuing them off the face of the earth. Amen. I know that we said a lot here, but let me speak about a couple things to bring you into an understanding. We're talking about things invisible. Now, I know you're not going to be moved about things invisible because you're natural, you're carnal. And when you're carnal and natural, you savor the things that would be of the flesh. Flesh is something that you could touch, something that you could feel. But if you're spiritual, you see it's a different mind altogether. It's the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ again. So we're going to compare this visible world and this invisible world for a moment. Now in the visible world, you know that if you have a wife and she becomes expecting that she's carrying a child. Is this correct? So now your wife's carrying a child and she's going to start pushing out of shape, start swelling up and different kind of things, and she's going to bring forth a child. In the gospel, Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. Now we're talking about being born again. Okay? So you understand a natural birth. Now the thing is, in a natural birth, the man goes into a marriage relationship with the woman. The seed leaves the loins of the man, called the blood seed or the sperm, and it goes into the woman. Amen? It goes into the woman, and it goes in, and it starts going through this division, and different things, the cells start dividing and things, the woman again pushes out of shape, and then comes forth a child. Now the thing is the invisible things, if we went over to Romans, it talks about the invisible things of God are clearly understood by the things which are seen. Okay, now we're talking about seen and unseen again. Invisible and visible. Now the thing is if we could understand this thing about the seed leaving the man going into woman, we got to get into another dimension and understand the same thing. The Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin because the seed remaineth in you. What is that seed? What is that seed? Is it a semen from God? Could we say that? Is it a sperm seed that comes from God that births you into the kingdom of God? Now the thing is, in the book of Revelation, it speaks about, you know, the woman that was, you know, in travail to bring forth this child, but the red dragon was there to devour the child just as soon as it was born. But as soon as it was born, the child was caught up to the throne in a place prepared for the woman. Now we need to understand that. I know a lot of times we don't try to understand those things and we push them off, but let me tell you something. You being the woman, you being in the bride perspective, if there was a place prepared for you, and as soon as the child was born, was caught up to the throne. It's hid away and sealed in. Nothing could be laid to its charge. Nothing could touch it. Why? Because it's caught away into heaven. Amen. But there's a place prepared for the woman. Why did it say it was a wilderness? What is that wilderness that this woman's in? It's the travail and it's the fight. Now again, when I said Paul said that he travailed until Christ be formed in you. Now here's a man travailing that Christ be formed in you. So we got to start differentiating. If you don't bring forth a child, you're not going to have no heir to the throne of God. The woman being saved in childbearing. Now you being the bride of Christ. Now you masculine men with your macho little self and your little muscles and all that stuff, you're going to have to come into the understanding that you are a woman. Man, preacher, there ain't no days I'm going to do that. Well, then how in the world is Lord Jesus going to have a relationship with you? Because he's not a sodomite. Now see, we're in another dimension, okay? But then when you're born again, when the Spirit comes forth, when this child comes forth, you see, it's another realm altogether. Born again. The Spirit. Spirit's invisible. Now we're talking of something altogether different. So now we got to differentiate. Do you know what differentiate means? We got to take things apart and look at it. You're born as a natural, corrupt man in the flesh, and then you're born in the Spirit. One, you have a natural father here on this earth, and then we have a heavenly father, a spiritual father, okay? The seed that comes from the heavenly father's got to come into the womb of the spirit or the heart. And when it comes into the womb, this is the seed that keepeth you from sin. This is the birthing. The thing is that we go into the natural realm, we find women that are barren. They can't bring forth a child. We find men that have no power in their seed. Their seed has no strength or no power. They can't reproduce their image. And there's women that are barren that cannot bring forth a child. Now, could there be anything like that in the spiritual realm? We know there is. Not in sonship with God or the bride. The bride doesn't have any complications like that. But there are other women that have complications like that, and it shows something forth. This is what we have to understand. So now the thing is, if a woman is wanting to have a child and she goes into relationship with her husband, the marriage relationship, and she goes in, she wants to have a child. Well, you're going to know when she's carrying the child. But now you want a relationship with the Lord Jesus. The Bible speaks about entering into the secret chambers with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to enter into this secret chamber with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you see, we enter into a marriage relationship, and the seed has got to come into the womb of your heart to bring forth the child of God. You see, you're understanding through your natural concepts of a man and a woman married, but it's the same way in the heavenly perspective. We got to be married unto him. He said, I'm married unto you, talking to the backslider. I'm married unto you and healed your backsliding. Now, Jesus being the husband, according to the scriptures, and he said that he's coming for his bride. What is a bride? It's someone that's married without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So he washed you with the blood of the Lord Jesus, made you without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, made you pure, for you could enter into the chambers with him, that you could receive this seed, for you could bring forth the heir to the throne of God, the many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, you see, we got to keep these things differentiated to understand. If you don't bring forth a child, then there's no heir. Now, if you go back into the Old Testament to see the allegories of this, if a woman was barren, man, they went before the prophets of God and they pleaded, please, please, pray for me, open up my womb that I could bring forth. To the point, say, man, if you'll open up my womb, I'll bring this child to the prophets that could be raised in the temple of God. Because they knew that without a child, they had no heir. Amen? Now we step into this other dimension the same way. Without bringing forth the Christ child, you're no heir to the throne of God. Now, the thing is Paul said, again, he travailed. You know, and there's a travail in childbearing now. Since the sin and the fall of man, there's a travail. Now, the thing is if your religion is that, well, I said this little prayer and asked Jesus in my heart, and you live the way you want to live, and you party, and you do the things of this world, I'm sorry, there's no travail in that. But in this life in Christ, we travail. You see, when the woman, naturally speaking, gets all pressed out and gets big and showing like that, she's not desirable to the world no more. But again, there's a bunch of filthy perverts now. We're just living in a filthy, ungodly, and moral world of darkness. The Bible talks about this end time, talks about gross darkness. There's so much filth and flesh and pumping so much stuff on your televisions and stuff. Man has been just losing their moral concepts of thought. Their man's just immoral. You know, I was counseling a couple here not long ago about immorality. The woman goes off and has an affair with another man. You know, it's just like nothing. It's like no violation. You know, it's just like, you know, you stole my dominoes from me or something. You know, where's the morals? Man needs to love his wife. She needs to cherish her. And Jesus said he's jealous over you. He's jealous over me. You know why he's jealous over me? Because he doesn't want me to have any affair with the world. And when I have affair with the world, it's adultery to him. And I'm cast out of heaven. You understand that? So let me go on just for a moment more. I won't keep you too long this evening. I know that there's been a lot said and you can only take so much. I understand that. But let me try to expound just a little bit here on this born again. You know, see, born again doctrine has been so perverted and so taken out of understanding. I'm talking about people with the depths that's supposed to come under these great men of God that really had fine, sound doctrine. I'm talking about the church realms, and the born-again doctrine has been perverted. It's been perverted badly. I mean, there's some say, well, I said this prayer. I had a man that had a whore under his arm, cigarette hanging out of his mouth, bringing alcohol on me. And he said, it don't matter what you say, preacher. I know I'm born again. If I die tonight, I'll go to heaven. Well, that makes the whole word of God a lie. Because the Bible said, number one, no adulterer is going to make it in. I can take and read it to you. It said no whoremongers are going to make it in. It says that no drunkards are going to make it in. This is what the Bible says. So here's a man, I knew his wife. He left his wife, went off into a relationship, and the woman under his arm was a whore because he had another wife. That's what a woman is when a man's married and she's with him. She can say, I'm not a whore. No, she's a whore according to the Bible. I preach the Bible. I preach what the Bible said. If whore offends you, sorry, but that's what you are when you're sleeping with a married man. People don't like plain speech. They like to just make everything real soft and real kind of, hey, you know, sin is sin. You know what I'm saying? You know, the preacher's supposed to be nice and he's supposed to just, you know, pet everybody and I love everybody. No, I don't like the people that are destroying. I've done petted devils before. You know, they come in, well, you're a soul winner. You got to allow them to come into your church. And then they run off with a sister and they go off and do this. And I think, my God, what have I done? Lord, you know, I'm trying to win a soul and they're in here trying to steal. You know, we got to use wisdom. The Bible said when a brother walks disorderly, you know, to separate from them, depart from them. It says of talebearer, you know, it said to remove them. You understand that? Because they sow strife and discord amongst the brethren. God hates that. He hates that. We need to unify together in one mind and one accord. The Bible said we know we pass from death and life because we love the brethren. Amen. Now let's go on with the thought here if I can find a place to close. We're talking about trying to understand these two different dimensions. So we talk about the natural dimension. You can understand how a child comes into this world. You can understand the purity of the marriage relationship. You can understand how this comes forth and a woman brings forth a child. Now the thing is, it's the same way in the spiritual realm. Now the thing is a woman in the natural realm knows when she's carrying a child. She feels it kick. Amen? She feels it move. You know, she knows when it comes forth, she could hear it. It wakes her up every night. She has to feed it. Now let's talk about the spiritual realm. Do you believe in this? Now think about it. Let's go to talk about Mary. Okay, she brings forth the Son of God. Let's talk about this for a minute, the Son of Man. She knew she was carrying a child, didn't she? Okay, and she brings forth this child. Now the thing is you're no different than that. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Rob. I'm not sure if I'm understanding. Let me tell you something. When you start carrying forth the child, you're pushed out of shape. You're not desirable of the world no more. And it's a travail. It's a struggle. The Bible said, mortify your mind, your thoughts, your ways. Mortify it out every day. You got to kill it. Take up your cross daily. See, people read those things, but they don't think about what it means. You see, when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, tell me that it was, you know, something that felt good. I mean, they drove nails in his hands. They beat him. You know, it was a terrible, terrible punishment, a terrible thing. But see, we're told to do this daily. Take up our cross daily. You see, and the Bible said again, they hated him, they're going to hate you also. You know, if you're Christianity, everybody loves you and everybody wants to be your friend. I'm telling you, you ain't got no Christianity. Because my Bible said they hated him first, they're going to hate you. So you think that for me to be a Christian, that the world's going to hate me? I know for that for a fact. If the world loves you as you are, you don't have Christ. I'm just telling you that. Let me tell you something. I used to use drugs. I'm not proud of that. You know, I've had the needles in my arms. I've done about every kind of drug you probably ever heard of. I was an absolute ignorant devil. Okay? I'm not happy about that. Not happy at all about that. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, when I got born again and received the Spirit of God, I never turned my friends away. I said, yeah, come on over. But I didn't have no dope for them to smoke. I didn't have no alcohol in my refrigerator for them to drink. I didn't want to sit and talk about the filth of the world that they want to talk about. And all of a sudden they departed from me. Amen. They didn't want nothing to do with me no more. You understand that? I was different, yes. There was something that happened to me. There was something that took place in my life. You see, but if they came over and I was no different, could I have been saved? Let me ask you a question. When you say salvation and saved, okay, if you are the same after this salvation experience, then what was you saved from? You know, if you're out in the ocean, floating in the ocean, and you're going to drown, and somebody throws you a life preserver, they're going to pull you out of that ocean, right? So how come salvation is bringing you, saving you from the terrors of this world and the snare of this world? Then how can you remain in it? Don't you want to get pulled out of something? We're going to come out of the world and be a peculiar people, a separate people, a righteous people, a holy generation, a royal priesthood. This is what the Bible teaches us. But then yet, in this day and hour, because of the lasciviousness and the darkness, they've made Christianity to be just like the world. They bring their sports heroes in. They bring their movie stars in. And now the Christian gospel music's done the same thing. They get these bunch of perverts that are out in the bar rooms one night, sleeping around with all the sleaze bags, and then they're singing about Amazing Grace the next night with a microphone, and the Christian communities are buying it and eating it up. And it's a wretched perversion before the mind of God and the eyes of God. You see, what is it? It's a peculiar people. You know, Christianity, you know, you think, well, I want to be a Christian. Now, let me tell you something. A Christian life is a life of sacrifice. It's a life of travail. It's a life of suffering. Paul said, equip you with a mind to suffer. You know, you say, well, Jesus came to bring peace. You need to read your Bibles. He said he didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword to put the mother against the daughter and the father against the son and the son-in-law against the father-in-law. That's what Jesus said. I can open it up and read it to you. So you say, well, wait a minute, that don't sound like the one I've been reading about. The one that you've been reading about, you're going to find yourself in hell being chewed on. But the one I'm talking about is life, the Prince of Life, the power of salvation. And he gave us the power to come out of the world. He gave us the power to endure all the way to the end. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and not with this religious slop mind of some kind of little queer religion with some sissified preacher that the Bible says is nothing more than a hireling. Well, I think these preachers are all right. Let me tell you something. The Bible said the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light. Do you realize that? That most of the churches around the community and around the world, the ministers behind the pulpits, they call it. Why do you think the Lord suffered them to call it a pulpit? Because they're pulling people right into the pits of hell. That's why. You see, we got to get real. Let's quit playing religious games. We're talking about your soul. You know, you might die tomorrow. Look at this young man that they're burying when we had on the board for prayer tonight. 48 years old and he's gone. You know, he mocked this message that I'm preaching. He mocked it and lightly esteemed this message. But look where he's at tonight. Maybe God shortened his days. Maybe he made it into the kingdom of God. But you know, on the other hand, he might be in hell. Why, he mocked holiness. You know, I don't think holiness is necessary. Well, you know, God's a God of holiness. And he said, without holiness, no man will see God. So you want to take and lightly esteem holiness? Holiness isn't some kind of religious act. Holiness is the Spirit. And we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? It's the Spirit of holiness. Why do you think they call it a Holy Ghost? It wasn't called the corrupt ghost or the filthy ghost or the perverted ghost or the fleshly ghost or the lust ghost. It was called the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's the Spirit of holiness. It separates you from the world, makes you a peculiar people. It makes you righteous. Oh, I knew you were self-righteous. I didn't say anything about self-righteous. It's His righteousness. I got to die. If you can't die, you won't make it. You want your life? God don't want nothing to do with you. He said, give your life as a sacrifice. That's your reasonable service. You want your life? You want your way? You want your mind? You're a filthy whore. Come on, preacher, don't talk so rough. Hey, I'm just being real with you. You know, you go watch the filthy movies and stuff, and they say all this filthy, perverted stuff, but the preacher's supposed to be some feminine little sissified guy and just tell you, oh, God loves you. God don't love you. He said he's angry with the wicked and he hates them. He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. You know, you want to think God loves you, but he hates you. He despises your image. You're a stench in his nostrils. You need to kill that man out and get born again. That's what he loves. He loves the spirit of his children. Amen. The ones that reproduce and bring forth Christ-like attributes. Do you know the difference between your fleshly life and the spirit life? In Galatians 5, it gives us a little bit of a speak about these two worlds and two minds. Two worlds and two minds. You know, there's a mind of carnality, the mind of man, the mind of flesh, the mind that's enmity with God, the mind of death. And then there's the mind of the Spirit of life, of righteousness and holiness. Amen? Okay, let's read about these two. We're talking about two realms. We're talking about invisible realm and visible. Invisible and visible. Flesh and spirit. Let's talk about them for a moment. Let me read here just a little bit. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now I'm going to talk about that for a second before we go on. Okay, does anybody know what contrary is? How many of you had a contrary friend before? Come on now, we've all had contrary friends. You know what a contrary friend does? You know, you got five people in the car and say, hey man, we're in a hurry, let's stop at McDonald's. The contrary friend don't want McDonald's. Four people want to go to McDonald's, but the contrary friend's never, oh, I ain't going to McDonald's. You know, if y'all would have said, I'm going to Taco Bell. If you would have said Taco Bell, then they would have said, no, I want to go to McDonald's. Because it's contrary. Has anybody ever witnessed a contrary devil? Okay, now here the Bible says it's contrary, the flesh and the spirit. So you're trying to bring these together. You can't bring them together. You got to mortify and kill out your flesh. You got to quit making your mind religious. What you do is you want to take your mind and you want to make your mind religious. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I said the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus in my heart. Oh, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to be with him. You're nothing but a wretched dog. Get rid of the ignorant ideology and get born again and get real with God. I'm not mocking being a Christian. I'm trying to teach you that just because you say something don't mean nothing. You know, what is the abomination of desolation? Do you know what that is? It's where Satan stands in the temple of the living God and he makes himself to be God. That's an abomination. And when you as a man stand up and say, well, bless God, man, I'm a son of God, you know, I'm born again. That's an abomination. You need to die. You need to get out of the way. You got to be killed. You say, boy, this sounds like good Christianity. You're sitting there, come to church tonight, and the guy says, I got to die. Praise God, I hope you leave this house of God tonight knowing that you must die. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. You understand that? So you're going to die. You say, yeah, my grandma died. You know, my granddaddy died, my great-granddaddy. The Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They stand in your face and they look you in the eyeball and they're dead. You understand? You need to learn what death is. You see, people don't understand. Now let's go to the Bible. When Jesus was here and Lazarus was in the grave, okay, he was in the tomb. How long was he there? Somebody tell me. 4 days. What did they say? He stinks by now. They didn't have embalming fluid back in Jesus' day. You know, when you was dead for 4 days, you smelled like something dead, huh? Okay, but Jesus said, no, he's not dead. He said, no, he's not dead. He said, he's asleep. Okay, well now wait a minute, we're putting all of our hope and all of our eternity and all of our trust in this guy that's walking along and this dude's stinking by now. And he said, he's not dead, he's asleep. And then yet this same individual speaks and teaches us his word and said that these men that are standing in your face, and it said that they're dead and they're twice dead and plucked up by the roots. You see, there's men that walk among us that are dead. They're dead in their trespasses and sin, and they will never see good when good comes, and they're predestined to hell. And there's nothing in this world, the Bible says, or the world to come that can save them. See, we need to understand the Bible. With Lazarus, when he was in the grave, he said, no, he's asleep. He called him forth. So see, we got to understand now. We have to understand what is death. The Bible, again, I could take you over to the scriptures. In Romans 8, it says, the carnal mind is death. The carnal mind. The carnal mind is death. Now the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. Well, let me tell you something. I've already died. You're looking at a man that has died and resurrected. And you say, preacher, come on, man. Well, I got Bible for it. If we're going to believe the Bible, let's believe the Bible. If you want to believe in some fairy tale, sissified religion with some pervert preacher, then go and get in his church and have fun. But I'm telling you what, I'm telling you the word of God. I've already died. I've been crucified with Christ. My Bible said I passed from death unto life. It said that the last enemy of God is to be abolished was death. And he abolished death. Now, Jesus said he abolished death. He said it was the last enemy and he done away with it. Do you believe that or not? If you don't believe that, then you're going to die and perish. And he is the resurrection, right? And he gave us, he said that we died with him and then we resurrected with him. I can take you into the scriptures and read that to you. Go over to Galatians in the second chapter. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. What is faith? Faith is the invisible thing. So I'm talking to you, trying to get you to understand something that you don't see. You look at me as a man and you say, they throw me in a box someday. You say, he died. That preacher said he'd never die. But Jesus said it's sleep. This is what I'm trying to do is teach you to get out of your intellectual concept of thinking and come into the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation. I like preaching the gospel. It's okay to like what you do, isn't it? Amen. I used to like working on airplanes and flying them, you know, but that's all temporal and it's all nothing. But man, I like flying around in heaven. Amen. You say, oh, you been to heaven? Yes, I live there. I told you I've done passed from death unto life. I've been caught away into heavenly places. Are you looking for a rapture? Are you waiting on a rapture, friend? Come on. Oh, I believe in the rapture. Well, show it to me in the Bible. Somebody, come on. I'm a challenge in the name of the Lord Jesus. Show me your rapture in the Bible. There ain't no rapture in no Bible. There's a catching away. You see, man, people get in these religious and they got some monkey up there calling himself a preacher and they're teaching you doctrines of devils and you're going to perish with them. Let's get real with God, folks. Let's find out what the scriptures teach us and what it says. You see, the thing is there is a catching away that happens every day, a resurrection. It's a daily resurrection every single day. There's a daily death. The Bible said, take up your cross daily, mortify the deeds of the flesh daily, kill that man out every day. So there's got to be a death every day, there's got to be a resurrection every day. Okay, so I told you I died already. Come on, preacher, I can see that you're life. No, this is death, what you see. I just read it to you. The things that you see are temporal. You see, the life that I'm talking about is eternal. You see, the life in Christ is eternal life. And the eternal things, right? I just read it to you over there in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Okay, it said that the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are unseen are eternal. So I'm sitting here telling you that I'm eternal, and you're looking at me, but you're looking at the part that's temporal. This life that you look at, this thing that you see with your eyes, is temporal. It's carnal. It's corruption. It's appointed to death. It's sin. But the part that you can't see is eternal. The invisible Spirit of God. The Bible said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. What are you going to put your hope in? Are you going to put your hope in the internal Spirit of God, the invisible Spirit, or in this temporal carnal body? You savor the things of this body, you paint it, you put the lipstick on it, and you make it look pretty, and you do all the stuff, and it's corruption, it's temporal. Why don't you adorn the inward working of Christ, that inward man? That's what needs to be adorned. We got to learn to change our concept of thinking and quit thinking like natural people that are dying and perishing and start thinking like eternal sons of God that are eternal, that are living forever. The Bible said that when He appears, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll appear just like Him. Amen? Because we already are the sons of God. Now, brethren, the thing is the church world teaches that someday we're going to have this thing take place, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible said, beloved, now. Beloved, now. Do you know what now means? Now. It said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. You see, sons of God don't die. Sons of God have passed from death and life. The gods cannot die. This is why hell was created. It wasn't created for man, because man's just temporal anyway. Hell was created for these spirits that are eternal, like Satan, for they could be put there because they had to have a dwelling place to get them out of our torment. For they wouldn't be with us in glory. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So the thing is that you've got to rend the veil again on this scripture that I had up there about the unseen and the seen. And you better start looking into things that are invisible. You better start praying that God will grant you eyes to see the unseen. Because if you keep walking in this natural temporal world, lusting after the things that you see and the things that you feel and the thing you touch, you'll perish with it. Amen. Get born again. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Ask God to lead you and direct you by the Spirit, because the sons of God, the Bible said, are led by the Spirit of God. Okay, let's go back to verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Okay, how many of you want to be led by the Spirit? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, we're reading the Bible now, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's my little quote in here. It doesn't matter what Joel Osteen says. It doesn't matter what the Pope says. The Pope's the devil. Oh, Brother Rob, I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord, the Pope is the Antichrist. The Bible said if they come and preach in anything that the Lord Jesus Christ did not teach us, then let them be accursed. Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay, so the Pope is teaching false doctrine. He says you could pray to Mary. And Jesus said, I'm the mediator between God and man. There is no other way between Him. So if I could pray to Mary, then that makes me preaching a different doctrine than what Jesus taught. So let him be accursed. This is why the Catholic Church is in the condition that it's in. This is why a bunch of these monkeys in the priesthood are sleeping with little boys, and they call them altar boys. You say, well, come on, Brother Rob, that stuff's going on in the Christian realm. There has never been a Christian sleeping with somebody else's wife or something else. That's a devil that come in. It's a wolf in sheep's clothes, amen? Well, I know a lot of this, man. I knew a preacher, man. He ran off with the church secretary. That preacher was of his father, the devil. You know, let's get real with the Word of God. We always make everything sound so nice. Well, he just fell. Sons of God don't fall. The Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. Cannot sin. Cannot. You know what cannot means? I cannot close. No. Oh, I like preaching the Word. Amen. Lady came over here and met me, and she said, you know, Brother Rob over at his house, he's just a nice guy, just so easy, but he gets behind that sacred desk, man, he's mean, man. Okay, we've read all these different things that are manifested of the flesh. Okay, and it says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if they don't inherit the kingdom, what do they inherit? Damnation, hell. Okay, let's make things easy. Why do people always want to make things complicated? It's real easy if you're a son of God and you're born again, you walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, and you live a godly life. If you're a heathen and you're of your father, the devil, and of the flesh, then you live like a dog and a devil. I know what both lives are. I've lived them both. I was a wretched, stinking, no good, sorry heathen. You understand that? And so I know what a devil is. I buried many devils. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, that's a hard one for the devil to try to mimic. You know, there's a counterfeit of a lot of the gifts and a lot of the things. The love that Jesus had, he showed us what love is when he went to the cross and was crucified. When he was nailed to that cross and the blood was running from the thorns jammed over his head, and the blood was running from the nail prints in his hand, and where they beat his back 39 times, that was your demonstration of love, brothers and sisters. He loved you and I so much that he took that brutal punishment and beating for you. Now there's your love. And you say, well, that's what you want us to have? The Bible said you'll lay your life down for your brother. Amen. You want to get married and have a wife? You're supposed to lay your life down for her. Amen. That's what love is. Joy. You say, well, joy, I want that joy. I like joy. You know, well, the disciples, they were in prison or in jail for the namesake of Jesus Christ. And they were taking them out to beat them. And it said that they was leaping with great strides of joy. Praise God for the joy of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Rob, I'm not sure if I like your interpretation. Peace. Amen. When Jesus was in the boat and everybody was screaming and crying, oh, we're going to perish, we're going to die. And he said, peace be still. Amen. He knew how to speak to the elements and stop this raging thing. And this is what we got to learn to do in the midst of the battle. You think peace is when everybody's nice and quiet and everything? That's not peace. There's people in turmoil in their spirit. They could be laying in the home and laying in their bed. And they could be laying there. There's no noise. Nobody's snoring. Nobody's no noise at all. And there's no peace. And their spirit is just rolling and rambling because they're being tormented by tormenting devils and spirits, and they don't understand that peace goes way beyond what you think of being quiet. Because let me tell you, you could be in the midst of a battle and the bombs falling, 10,000 fall on your right and left, and you have peace that surpasses all understanding. You need to know what the spirit world is and learn to walk therein. Long suffering, amen. That's when they speak all matter of evil against you, spit in your face and call you a liar and call you a devil, and you're long suffering and smile and say, I love you, amen. Praise God. We need to learn gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Crucified it. Now you want to talk about when you know you're in Christ? When you know that you're born again? It's because you've killed out your mind, your nature, your will, your desires. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know if I want this. Let me tell you. You want reward? You know, you go ahead and labor in your flesh and you build your homes and you store your savings account and get your 501 or A or whatever all that is, and you'll find out it ain't going to be enough. Put your treasures up in heavenly places, amen, where you have something through all of eternity, amen. I want to live with Jesus forever. I know what this world's got to offer. I know the blindness of Satan. I know what the deceptive powers of Satan are, amen. I'm not preaching from some theological institution, some dried up college. I've been out there. Satan had his clutches in my soul trying to kill me, and I walked in the blindness of this world. But thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ that he gave me eyesight and opened up my eyes. And I'm preaching the Word of God, amen. And I'm going to do everything I can to pull you and others out of the clutches of Satan, to get them set upon a rock that is unmovable, that's going to stand and going to stay, amen, where you will not find yourself being cast into the lake of fire. You're going to stand before a preacher someday, and the Lord Jesus is going to say, enter in, done, my good and faithful servant. Or he's going to say, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. This all-knowing God, that word knowing means that he never had the marriage relationship with you. You understand that? He said, I never knew you. Remember this, God knows everything. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But he said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. What he was saying is, you never entered into the marriage chamber with me, never had that marriage relationship. And that's where the child came forth in, is through the marriage relationship. And that child at that point is caught up to the throne of God. Amen. Hid away, sealed in heavenly places. Nothing could be laid to its charge and nothing could touch it. Amen. That's who we are, the sons of God. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Verse 23 says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. God don't want to hear how much Bible you can quote. He don't want to hear how much you can quote another famous preacher. He don't want to hear that. He wants you to walk in the Spirit of God. That's all he wants you to do. Walk in the Spirit. Because ye that walk in the Spirit are of Christ. Amen. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Who's leading you tonight? We had this guy come in here, been in prison most of his life. Macho man, boy, man. You know, just strutting around. You know, God help me. I should have slapped him. I should have showed him what a good old-fashioned whooping was. You understand what I'm saying? But no, I'm a preacher. I turned the other cheek. But you know, he's masculine and thought he was a tough guy and this and that. And you know what he was a little feminine sissy being raped and molested by every unclean devil. Now we're talking about the invisible world. I thought I was closing, but let me go on here for a moment. We're talking about the invisible world. We're talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're talking about him having this relationship of marriage with you, putting a seed in you. If Jesus doesn't do that, what's going to happen is the devil's going to. You're going to receive a seed from one of the two. Are you listening to me? You're going to be a carrier of one of the two. Amen. You're going to have your father, the devil, or it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you got to find, this is all biblical. So now the thing is I talk about this man that comes in that's macho. Man, I could scrap, I could fight, man, I've been in prison, man. I'll pull this knife out, I'll whoop you, thus, thus, and us. And he was being raped. You know, in the prison system, when you're a man and you become a punk for the other guys in there, that means that these men are having their way with you, turned you into a sodomite pervert. And boy, they ain't going to go there. You know, hey man, I'm bad. They'd have to kill me, this and that. But while they're thinking they're bad in their macho little self, they're being raped by every unclean devil. And they're bringing forth a child of hell. A twofold more, the Bible says, a child of hell. Amen. And when this devil rapes them and puts in his seed within them, it reproduces after his kind. It reproduces after the murder and the hate and the drunkenness and the adultery and the fornication and the witchcraft that we just read about here. So you need to check out what kind of child you have and what kind of fruit that you have, because it's the fruit, brothers and sisters, of what is going to show forth of what you are and who your father is. Let's get born again and get right. Let's give Jesus a hand and stand to our feet. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's give Jesus a hand, brothers and sisters. Amen. He's our Lord, our God, our salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, they play a song or two. We're going to go into part two. Amen. Oh, praise God. Is that all right? I had a minister friend that wrote a song about losing his mind. I lost my mind. You say, man, we sit in front of a preacher tonight that's going to testify the fact that he's out of his mind and lost his mind. Yes, I am. I'm totally out of my mind. Amen. But the thing is I came into another mind, and it's called the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thought of not robbery be equal with God. Amen. And I thank God for his word. Amen. I challenge anybody that could challenge me in the Bible to show me where I've erred one place tonight in the scriptures and the word of God. I have not. Amen. But I challenge you. Bring me Bible and bring me scripture. I won't get ugly. I won't get mad. You can't offend me. Amen. Sons of God can't be offended. Amen. Amen. You can come spit in my face. Call me a devil, and I'll say, it's all right, I love you, but let's go to the Word of God, and let's go to the Bible, amen. All right, let's sing a song or two. Praise the Lord, amen. Fall in love with Jesus. Let him be your Lord, your God, your King, your salvation, amen. The Bible said to examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. The Bible also teaches us that we look in a mirror and we walk away, not remembering what manner of man we really are. You know, when Jesus said to him, he said, though you have eyes, you don't see. Every one of them was looking at him, saying, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm looking at you. He knew what he was talking about. He was God, the creator of all things. Amen. Challenge yourself and see if you got eyes to see. See if you could see good when good comes. And make sure that you're not walking in the intellectual darkness of blindness, of carnality, and enmity with the living God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The altars are open. If you need prayer tonight, the altars are open. We believe in the power of the living God. If you've never been born again, we could lay hands on you and pray that the Holy Ghost could touch you and fill you with His Spirit, that you could be a new creature in Christ. Amen. If you are sick, been afflicted, amen, the Spirit of the living God is here. Amen. We believe in miracles and we believe in healing in this church because Jesus said He's the same to every generation. Amen. Hallelujah. The same today, yesterday, and forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you what, when you drink of this, drunk's for them whiskey-sucking bunch of devils, man. But let me tell you, when you drink some of this stuff, you find out what that joy he was talking about is. Amen. I used to think I got joy on a little bit of that old alcohol, man. But it wasn't no joy, man. You know, Brother Randy's got scars on his face from the joy of whiskey, man, when he ran into that tree or whatever he ran into, huh? I tell you what, I don't like that stuff, amen. Hallelujah. But I found joy drinking of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. It'll bring you a joy, hallelujah. You ever drank the blood of Jesus? Have you ever ate of His flesh, amen? Until you do, you won't know what I'm talking about, amen. Hallelujah. Jesus' own disciples, when He told them to drink His blood and eat His flesh, man, they shook their head and thought, now He's really gone too far. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know that you can't die. It's a wonderful thing to know you're living forever and pass from death unto life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some people don't believe that, but I do. And you say, preacher, they might put you in a box someday. That ain't death. Tried to explain that to you. That is not death. The Bible said your forefathers went to sleep. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You better quit playing Bible games and start getting real with the Scriptures and the Word of God. Amen. Them ones that are playing Bible are going to perish and die. But the ones that are walking in the life of Jesus Christ are eternal and living forever and ever and ever. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship Him, saints. Lift up your hands and worship Him. The Bible says, lift up holy hands. Praise Him. He inhabits the praises of people. Amen. If you can't praise God, He can't fill you and He can't inhabit you. Amen. When you find that He set you apart from death and gave you everything that pertaineth unto life, you got something to rejoice and something to praise Him about. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You feel like you could run through a troop, leap over a wall. Hallelujah. I hope you could feel the presence of eternal life. Hope you could feel the strength and the power of His majesty and His strength and the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you feel the presence of the Spirit of the living God? Are you touched by Him tonight? Can you feel the anointing of His Holy Ghost? Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.